Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, The Bird Show.
She's calling it a complete hair meltdown. Meltdown at the salon. Intern to my, what can cause a meltdown at the salon?
It's a long story. Okay. If anybody knows me, they know I don't play about my hair. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't let a lot of people do my hair. If you mess it up one time, it's a wrap. I'm never coming again. So I had some braids, just regular normal box braids, the normal. And I took them out, and I didn't comb my hair after I took them out. That's strike one. But it shouldn't be that detrimental. So I washed my hair, and then I got out, put the conditioner on, and I'm combing it. I'm like, it's kind of hard to comb my hair. I'm like, okay, let's calm down. So I get out and I sit in the bathroom and I'm combing and I can only get like a little section and I couldn't get the rest. I'm like, okay, let's not panic. I'm going to wait for my mom.
Take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm. Let's calm down. Everything's fine. So my mom gets home and she tries to comb and she was like, this is tangled. I can't get it out. So we sat there for hours and hours and I was going insane. I was like, oh my gosh, she's gonna cut it. Don't cut my hair. I was like, oh, gosh, I'm gonna be balding. It was terrible. So she was like, she got most of it out, but it was like this one piece. It was like a big, huge dread in the front of my head on the right. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're gonna have to cut it. I'm gonna be bald. I'm gonna look like Cynthia from the Rugrats. So.
Bless.
So we had to wait till the next day to go back to the salon for her to fix it, and we're like, you need to fix it. You need to get it out. We're not going to cut it. You need to get it out.
So has this ever happened before when you took your braids out?
No.
Any idea why it would have happened?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know if it was the products that she used or because I didn't comb it out. But I haven't combed it out before, and it wasn't that tangled like that. So I don't understand. I'm like, you did something. I'm like, I don't know what you did, but you did something. Something's not right.
I'm laughing listening to you because, I still remember the moment where I discovered just how important a black woman's hair is to her. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we can go into how it represents identity, self-expression, culture, all these different things. Like, we know that, right? But in my family is known for joking on each other. That's what we do. We clown every single thing we go through. We joke each other. And I'll never forget the moment I have three younger sisters and my middle sister has something going on with her hair. I'm not going to go into the details because I like living. But she had a little situation going on. And I remember her panicking about it, like you're saying, and I made a joke like, yo, what's going on with your hair? And the look that I got from my mama and my grandmother and all of my sisters all at once of like, this ain't it. This ain't the time. This ain't the time for no jokes. We not here for that. And I have never played with a black woman and her hair ever again in my life. Like, so, I get it.
That's the one button you do not push.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. And the level of panic that y'all go into when just the smallest of things, it seems small to us, is wrong, is like, okay, like, this is a big deal and you cannot play with this.
So what was supposed to happen there as a guy that's been white most of his life and hasn't been around like this kind of culture as far as hair goes and stuff like that? What is supposed to happen in this process?
You're supposed to comb it out and wash your hair and comb it and it's going to be normal and you can go on with your day. The hair is everything. If your hair is not right, then nothing is right. No matter if the outfit or the shoes, the hair, this is everything. It's
so
not right.
You don't even feel like yourself. Like, there's no way to even feel.
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, you just feel ugly. Like, my hair, it looks terrible. I look terrible. No, it's just a mess.
All right, so now you're there at the salon with your mom and the stylist who had put the original box braids in, right?
Yes.
All right, and now she's working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it going?
She took me to the bowl, so I couldn't see. So that was making me nervous. I'm like, I can't see what she's doing. I need to know if she's doing it right. And I see hair coming out. And I was like,
in a full panic.
And I was like, don't cry. Then my eyes, they were watering.
Uh-huh.
I was like, don't do it. And then she finally finished, and I looked at it, and I was like,
You didn't love it?
No.
Were you honest about that?
No, I was just staring at her, and she was like, it's fine, everything's fine. And I was just staring at her like, no, it's not. It's not fine. And she was trying to make me feel better. I'm like, it's nothing you can say or do is going to make me feel better. It's terrible.
Didn't Chris Rock do a whole movie on this?
Yeah.
This very thing?
He did. I never saw it, but I do remember he had a movie about it. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, what did you guys end up doing?
Well, she paid her for taking it. I think she gave her like $10 or $20. I was like, you shouldn't have gave her anything. Mm. But I walked out and I just bawled and let it out. I was like, it's terrible. I was like, I'm going to have to go get my hair cut. I was like, it's just terrible.
I'm assuming that's the last time she will ever see you.
For sure. I'm never going back to her ever again.
I think she knew that before you even took off.
She probably knew. I think she could tell.
Hey. The Bird Show.
Starting to see it more and more now. People just giving up on the booze, man, including our producer, Rebecca.
Hi, my name's Rebecca, and I've been sober for 1 year.
Hi, Rebecca.
What is your secret?
Right, share.
Alcoholism. Yeah. Yes,
that's a good one.
A lot of people ask me, why'd you decide to stop drinking? And usually I'm like, oh, I didn't feel like it really served me. You know, I'm just doing it for my health, like try to sleep better. But the real truth is I had a drinking problem.
Really?
I did.
And was there one tipping point on a night where you're like, okay, now it's time to stop? Or was it a slow build?
Yes. So I never had a problem consecutively drinking. Like, I was not the person who was drinking every night. I honestly probably only drank like once, maybe twice a week. But my problem was when I drank, I would never know when to stop. Mm-hmm. I was a huge binge drinker.
Did you not know, or did you know and you just decided to say screw it when you were at that time of like, okay, one more is going to put me over the edge? Or did you really not know?
I knew.
Yeah.
I did know. Same. I knew. I knew my limits. I kept pushing my limits. And the thing with having a problem is that it's progressive. So things just start to get worse. And I would have times where I was like, okay, that was kind of crazy. I'm going to be sober for a while. And I would be sober for weeks. And then I would just jump right on the bandwagon again. And I would hit it even harder. And it was turning less fun and becoming more honestly dangerous, because my rock bottom was I woke up one night after drinking. I didn't remember anything from the night before. I had no idea where I was. Mm. And I realized that a bartender from the bar had taken me home because I was so drunk and I was alone. And he wanted to make sure I was safe.
And you don't remember getting in a car? You don't remember him dropping you off, taking you to bed? Nothing.
I remember saying goodbye to my friends that I was going to stay out, because this was something I did. I would stay out past my friends because I wanted to drink and meet new people and talk and be wasted, basically. And I don't remember anything after that. He was really nice. He was gay. He took me home. He laid me on the couch. He gave me a blanket. He put 30 Rock on because I asked him to. Like, it was like the sweetest thing ever. And I woke up and I was like, I don't have my phone. I left it in an Uber. I can't do this again. Like, this is not working. Mm-hmm. I know that I cannot drink in moderation. Mm. I have to just commit to being sober. And I have for a whole year, which is crazy. Who'd have thought? Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at me. I'm pretty sure it's a year because my sober app, I accidentally changed it to seconds and I'm not sure how to change it back. So
you know how many seconds you've been sober?
Yeah, like so far it's like 35 million seconds or something.
Yeah, that's way more impressive than a couple of months, than a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been exactly a year.
How challenging was it for you in the beginning as opposed to how it is to not do it now?
Honestly, I was so scared by what happened that at the beginning it wasn't hard. It got harder months later because you go through it and you're like, wow, like I'm pretty good at this. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at being sober. Maybe I could have a drink. That's what you think to yourself. You're like, I've been doing so well. I could probably do this again. Mm-hmm. And that is just the cycle, and you'll just jump right back on the horse. And I knew that. I also got cancer, so that helps.
I was going to ask. I didn't want to bring it up because that's not the focus. But I would think when somebody gets a diagnosis like that, and of course you need to treat your body like a temple when you're going through those treatments. And it was probably at one point easier not to drink because you knew, like, I need to do this for my health and for my life.
Yes.
But when you get that news, I think I'd want to drink.
Well, you would say that, but I do know people that have had lung cancer and continue to smoke through their lung cancer fight.
It's crazy when you go to the cancer hospital and see people smoking outdoors. Yeah, people don't stop. Vices are hard to quit. But no, that wasn't the reason I stopped, but it definitely helped. So after a year, I wanted to share everything I've learned from my first 365 days. And number one, I think, is actually pretty obvious.
You hate working with us.
Yeah. Easy to do when you're buzzed. Number one, the Bird Show. Real drunk.
Drunk people are really annoying.
Yes.
Yes, right.
I knew that conceptually, but like, I was always drunk when I was around drunk people. So, like, seeing that in real time, like, shut up. Oh, my God.
When I've gone through these cycles also that you initially went through, right, and I stopped drinking around people that were drinking, I was home by 9:30. 9:30 or 10 o'clock every night, just realizing, like, this is not fun at all, man.
With more money in your pocket, too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to last. It's so hard to last. But what helps me is number two. Being around drunk people while drinking a club soda with a lime, it makes you feel drunk.
Oh,
really?
Like you're like drunk by osmosis.
I don't know if like my brain is like just super malleable, but like the placebo effect works really well for me.
Nice.
So if I have a club soda and a lime and I'm like standing next to Mikey, who's like, Rebecca, you're so funny, Rebecca. I'm like, I'm on your level. I get that. It literally is like osmosis. Mm. Number three, it's a little bit of a bummer. And I don't want to bring the show down, but it has to be said. Mocktails are always really bad.
Are they?
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're not the
just
best.
So bad.
Never had one.
I've never
never tried it.
I have never been able to finish a mocktail because mocktails are just like the most sugary juice that they could think of. Mm. Or it's like a bartender throws all of like the old fruit that he has on the bar and just muddles it into a glass of club soda. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, here's your mocktail. Just drink like a club soda or a Diet Coke. You don't have to pretend that you're drinking. It just doesn't work. I'll just drink water.
Let's honor Mo here for a second also that he has been mocktail free for a year.
I've been mocktail free for my entire life.
Well done.
Thank you.
Hi, Mo.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
This brings me to a tip, which is that sober people need to carry cash on them. I have never carried cash in my life. And I know not all sober people like to go to bars, but I still like to hang out with people and go to bars. Bartenders usually don't charge you when you just get like a Diet Coke or a club soda, but then you feel really bad because you're not giving them any money. So I don't rob me because I'm literally carrying cash so I can like tip bartenders for giving me water. That is so important.
Very kind of you and very thoughtful.
Thank you.
And that's only something a sober person would think of.
True. Who would think this? So number five is really the hard truth. And that is, I'm not as fun as I was when I drank. I'm not as fun sober.
Oh, you're not fun, Becca?
No, I'm not fun, Becca. This is something that I really honestly was scared about. I was scared that when I stopped drinking, I would lose like a big chunk of my funness. And the truth is that that has happened. I am not as wild. I'm not as spontaneous. I'm not being left at the bar alone and making a huge group of new friends that I don't remember the next day and still have on my Instagram. And I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. My inhibitions are here. They're not going anywhere because I don't have that liquid courage anymore. Mm-hmm. But the truth is those positive parts of me that came out when I was drinking, they're still there. Mm-hmm. They're still inside. Mm-hmm. I just have to work extra hard to bring them out. And I know that the people around me who love me and care for me, they appreciate that. And they enjoy that about me. So I like that.
It's been a journey.
Hey, we love sober Rebecca.
Yeah. Club soda on me.
This is a good time again to plug this book that I was turned on to, and I'm not getting an endorsement fee or anything. It's just a very effective book. I think Bart read it also. Kristen.
Several times.
If you are really ready and you're scared to make that switch to total sobriety, This Naked Mind is such a great book. And what it does is it really steals and robs every excuse that you have ever given to continue to drink and proves that what you're saying to yourself is wrong. And it's just the push that you might need. And again, it's called This Naked Mind.
Hey, The Bird Show.
$100 can get you a brand new 2024 Audi Q3. How is that possible? Because all the money is going to Burt's Big Adventure, and the raffle tickets are selling fast. We told you they would.
Yeah, you can buy a raffle ticket for $100. And with that $100, you can score yourself a brand new 2024 Audi Q3. So again, tickets, only $100, and we're only selling 3,000 of them. So it sells out every single year, so don't wait until the last minute. You have until 5 p.m. next Wednesday, October 23rd, to enter, or until we sell out.
The winner will be announced on Friday, October 25th, during the Bird Show. But again, as we have said multiple times, do not wait that long. Go get your tickets now. If you can hear this, that means you can go and get them. If I were you, I would just get it on it.
And feel good about this. I know the economy sucks right now. But $100, all of it is going to Burt's Big Adventure. Mm-hmm. Every single penny of it. And you get yourself a brand new Audi Q3, right? So all the information up online. Buy your tickets today at burtsbigadventure.org.
And a very special thank you to our friends over at Audi Atlanta for making all of this possible.
All right, Amber, how does one get scammed on a Georgia Peach Pass?
Well, luckily, I was not the victim this time. I almost was. Now, I've come on here a few times and told you guys about some really frustrating scams that are around, and these new ones, and they're getting better and better. Well, you used to just get the whole car insurance thing and car warranty, but now they're sending text messages, emails, and all those things. So what happened to me is that I received a text message, which I did not check. It came from a phone number. Didn't even see that, but it said, Georgia Peach Pass, your toll balance is $5.89. To prevent late fees of $59.67, please pay your balance over at the gatollinvoice.com is what it said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should have realized this is not true because, one, I don't have Georgia Peach Pass.
But, okay.
I can explain.
Man, you really should do some investigative work, man.
You are sharp.
Yes.
So I'm just double checking, Amber, because you don't have a Peach Pass. You did not click that, right?
I absolutely did. Let me explain. I am the worst. So what happened was that same day, I was right. After the show, I drive home all the way to the south side in Clayton County is where I live. So I have to go 400 south, 85 to 75, right? So at one point, there was this horrible, matter of fact, he was driving a Cybertruck once.
See, there's another problem.
One. And he was driving like such a little, So I was trying to get around him, but he kept like slowing up and speeding up so I couldn't get around him. So I said, screw you. I'm going to go into the Georgia Peach Pass line for just 1 second. Uh-huh. So when I got this, I just thought that it was, I got caught. For being in a Georgia Peach Pass lane without having Peach Pass. That's what I thought it was. So I clicked the link, and then I said to myself, wait a doggone minute. So I double checked, and then I realized It was from a phone number, all of that stuff. And then I clicked out. So it was definitely a phishing scam. So if you do have Georgia Peach Pass, please understand that these people are not going to text your phone
from
a phone number. But I do have some things to tell you what you can do should you get this quickly. If you receive a suspicious text message, do not be stupid like me and click any links or provide any information. Delete the message immediately. And if you have already clicked on the link, all you need to do is contact your financial institution, your bank, what have you, or you can even contact the FBI's Interest Crime Complaint Center. And I do say you do that because these scams are happening so often. Sure. So if you do get it, please report it.
Didn't you say you had a friend that fell for this and lost a significant amount of money?
He lost, what happened?
Why are you smiling?
Because
he lost more than she did.
You learned nothing from this.
Everybody wants their friends to do okay, just a little bit worse than they.
I didn't say he was a good friend. Yeah, he lost a lot of money. They actually bought some things off of Amazon with his money. His bank, he got a notification from his bank saying, did you spend all this money at this bar, this restaurant in a completely different state? And he was like, no. So this is real. The phishing scams are real. These scams are real. Pay attention before you click any links.
Okay, so I am not endorsing this at all. Do not use the Peach Pass line if you don't have a Peach Pass.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm assuming you are going to get fined for that.
You will.
Will you? Because I have done the same thing. I was super late for an appointment, really late for an appointment. Had to go from Woodstock to downtown. And I made the decision that, screw it, I'm just going to take the fine. At some point or another, this is going to cost me $150 because it's a long way, man.
Yeah.
So I took the Peach Pass line without having the Peach Pass all the way downtown town. And I've been waiting and I was waiting and I was waiting for the citation. It never came.
Yeah. I've done it many times myself. I
don't think I should be telling people this.
I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying.
As somebody who has a Peach Pass and pays for it, I hate you right now.
I have one now. And I love it. You won't feel any freer than you do when you're using that pass and traffic is all backed up. And I will use it on the way back from Savannah. And I guess the Peach Pass line starts around Conyers and works its way downtown. Even if there's no traffic, I'll use it anyway. Because I love it so much.
You might want to check, because you've lived in multiple locations recently. I could totally see that ticket getting sent to an address.
Oh, them late fees, $100,000.
And then you get pulled over and there's a warrant out for your arrest.
I mean, at some point or another, they would have caught up with me.
If you go to jail for a Peach Pass.
What are you in for, bro?
I'm protecting your peach.
Did you guys know this? Have you seen like all the EVs on the road that have the green license plate that say alternative fuel vehicle?
Yeah.
Those you can ride in the Peach Pass lane and the HOV lanes for free.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
You just pay like it's like $25 or $35 a year for the license plate extra, and you don't get billed for Peach Pass. It's free. You can ride it anytime.
I thought for sure I would have that citation within a couple of weeks because at one point, like 15 years ago, I ran the red here. By the radio station in Sandy Springs, going down to, I was living in on Windsor Parkway at the time, and I ran it. It was close. It was close. I thought maybe it was yellow. And then like 2 weeks later, I get a picture of the back of my head in my car. And they're like, this is you, dude.
Yeah.
There's no citing that. So I thought for sure I would get a series of pictures of me just like flying with the Peach Pass. Woo! That was the time of my life. And it was going to cost me $150 or $200. It never happened.
Well, did you make your appointment on time?
I did.
Yeah.
I did make the appointment on time.
It was worth it.
Yeah, it was worth it. That's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.
So I think we all had the same thought here yesterday when we all heard that Liam from One Direction passed away. And we have had a Burt Show listener, Meredith from Indiana, who is the most hardcore One Direction fan you would ever meet. What was it? One Direction was it breaking up or was it when...
It was when Zayn was leaving.
Oh, my goodness. Meredith, virtual listener Meredith, was much younger at the time, but she was inconsolable, right? And we have talked to her through the years. She is about the biggest One Direction fan we have ever met. I mean, really feels it in her soul. So when we got this news yesterday that Liam had passed away, I think we all had the same thought, like, oh, I wonder how Meredith is doing. So we called yesterday, or Tommy texted her just to make sure she was okay. And she said she'd come on with us this morning. Hey, Meredith.
Hey, Bert. How's it going?
Well, we're okay. We're wondering how you're doing. I mean, I was saying earlier that, like, for your generation and for you, you've been the representative for the most hardcore One Direction fans in our audience. Like, how are you doing?
To be so honest, I woke up this morning and I just don't think it's real. Like, I'm still in denial about it. And just reading all of the information that came out, there's still so much more that we don't know. And it just baffles me that it's crazy that it's Liam. Like, Liam was the dad of the group. He was the foundation of the band. And I still, like, I'm speechless still. Like, I woke up this morning thinking, like, nothing has happened.
Yeah, I think we all had the same reaction. Like, first of all, that's the time we live in also, is when you hear, you read something like this, you're like, no, it's not real. And then you go to two or three quote-unquote credible sources and realize, like, oh, my God, this really is. So I think most are scratching their heads today, probably the same way you are also. And it shouldn't be lost on people that, he's a father.
He's a father. he's a father. That's what breaks me. And I think of the movie This Is Us because I actually watched it like a month ago, like when it was like the 10-year anniversary of the movie. So it just happened to be the day. And there was a scene of Liam's mom that I always think about. And she bought this like cardboard cutout of her son. And she would say like, oh, I'm going to just like say goodnight to it every night since I don't see him anymore. And that's what makes me want to cry.
Yeah. It's sad, sad news, man. I mean, what else can you say?
I know, it really is. As far as what you're seeing, because I'm sure you're still involved with like the One Direction fan base. Are they just in the same boat as you? It's just being like, this can't be real.
I think everyone could like co-sign what I have to say. Like no one, I don't think anyone can believe it right now. And just I think once the boys say something else, like Harry, Niall, once they speak out and maybe even like the One Direction page says something, that's when it's gonna like
be real.
I really think shake everyone, yeah. Everyone in the fandom.
I feel like every generation has something like this and you're attached to one specific band or sure. one specific artist. And when they pass away, it's devastating because you've connected with them at some point. I remember when I was first dating my now ex-wife and Kurt Cobain died. I mean, she was literally on the phone crying to me about it. We had just started dating. I was like, what? but I think every generation has these.
Absolutely. Because music is healing. And it's also like, I mean, the One Direction's music is going to forever be a part of the soundtrack of your life. So, and that's an important role to play. So when something like this happens,
yeah.
it's going to shake you to your core.
I think for our parents' generation, it was probably like Elvis yeah. and John Lennon. Mm-hmm.
Especially music that you grew up on, you grew mm-hmm. up with. That's the soundtrack of your youth and of your life. And I get that experience for you guys. Because for me, it was definitely the Notorious B.I.G.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some would say Michael Jackson. Others would say Prince. And for Gen Z, this is the band.
Aaliyah was a big one for me growing up. That was the first big one that I remember. And I remember sobbing in my bedroom. And I liked Aaliyah, but I wasn't obsessed the way Directioners are about mm-hmm. One Direction. So I can't imagine what the fan base is going through, but also what mm-hmm. his bandmates are going through. Like, I almost wonder if Niall Horan has any guilt, even though he had nothing to do with the death, but Liam was there mm-hmm. to watch him perform. Like, you know what I mean?
I think, you know, Meredith, you could speak to this more than we can. I think when you have guys in a band that know each other intimately and one of these things happens like this, you're probably saying to yourself, could I have done more? I think that's the natural mm-hmm. thing to do. Do you think that the guys are thinking that today?
I think definitely Niall, too, just considering he was the last person that he saw. Mm-hmm. I, like, still have all the notifications on whenever Liam, Zayn, or anyone has, like, a post up. So I was watching all of those Snapchat videos that they were talking about and, like, articles and stuff. So I feel like Niall probably took it to home the most, but I think all of them right now are sharing the same feeling, which yeah. just breaks my heart.
Because imagine how eerie, because Liam posted, because he had been in Argentina. He went to go see Niall. He talked to Niall. He went to the concert, and then he was staying for, you know, maybe some vacay time, right? And he posted, it's been a while since me and Niall have spoken. We've got a lot to talk about, and I would like to square up a couple things with the boy. No bad vibes or nothing like that, but we just need to talk. Mm-hmm. And so to know Damn. That you got that talk, and then literally days later, he falls off a balcony and... Mm. He's no longer with us.
That's horrible, man.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Meredith, for you and everybody that is so connected to One Direction, really, really sorry this morning. I know you guys are definitely feeling it.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely feeling it now because it all goes back to even like 10 years ago when I called you guys. Like, One Direction has brought me so much. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, I think it's going to hit me right now that I don't know what I would do without them. I don't know what I would do without them, so...
All right, Meredith, thanks for taking a couple of seconds to talk to us, all right?
Yeah, thank you. All right, y'all have a good one.
You too. You take care.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show. What's trending now? Go! Kristen knows. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
So, yeah, if you're just now joining us, we are discussing the death of Liam Payne, a former member of One Direction. Was one of his impressive high notes, by the way. There were a lot of dedications online to Liam Payne. So the cause of death has now been revealed. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a trigger warning because we're going the top medic has just released information as to the injuries he sustained when he fell off the balcony. So Liam Payne was in Argentina. He had gone there a couple weeks ago to talk to Niall Horan and see him in concert. His girlfriend had been with him. She left a couple of days ago. He just posted to Snapchat yesterday some videos that he had taken a couple days prior. And then we get the news that Liam Payne has died because he fell off a third floor balcony in Argentina. So apparently Liam Payne fractured his skull and died instantly of very serious injuries. And this is according to medical officials there in Argentina. So first responders rushed to the Casa Sur Palermo Hotel in Buenos Aires after receiving an emergency call from a frantic manager. And there was nothing they could do to save him when they got there. And this is according to the emergency services chief, Alberto Crescenti. He said, our role was to head there quickly, give medical attention, and try to resuscitate him. But his injuries were incompatible with life.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking. And then also, what's so eerie is Liam Payne's ex-fiance, Maya Henry, claimed he recently predicted his early death in an episode of the podcast she was on, The Internet is Dead. So 2 days before we break this news that Liam Payne is no longer with us, she's on a podcast saying this.
He would always message me ever since we broke up, like, oh, I'm not well. He would always play with death and be like, well, I'm going to die. I'm not doing well. I know the lifestyle he lives, and there is a day where something bad is going to happen. So I would always be like, okay, he's saying these things. I have to help him, because if I don't, I will never be able to live with myself if something does happen to him. There was one time I tried to get him help. He was like not taking it. And it's just always the same cycle. Like, for example, when I announced my book, he did the same thing. He called my mom. I think I'm not going to be around much longer.
So eerie.
That is eerie. I believe in that. I believe in the power of the tongue, and you got to be very careful what you say. It's like similar to Kobe Bryant, who used to always say he was going to die young, and he did. And you should be very careful about speaking those things into existence.
Yeah, in a case like this, though, I said this earlier that he seems to have been going through a rough time. And I think a lot of the people in his closest circle now are probably going, what could we have done? They're living with this guilt now. What could we have done?
Oh, there'll be survivor guilt, I bet.
For sure. And the truth of the matter is, there's probably nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No, not at all. All right. So moving on into some other entertainment news. Joker 2 is going to lose up to $200 million at the box office. So it is poised to become one of the biggest box office flops in history. So according to a report, the Joker 2 cost $200 million to produce, with an additional $100 million going to marketing and distribution. So when you split the ticket sales between studios and theater owners, it would need to gross $450 million to even break even, and they are nowhere close to that.
Good. So now Hollywood knows not to shove musicals down our throat. Okay, what have you learned, Hollywood? Okay.
All right, and Luke Combs and Eric Church's benefit show, Concert for Carolina, had such high demand for tickets that they decided to live stream the event. So if you weren't one of the lucky 75,000 fans that were able to snag tickets to the October 26th show at Charlotte's Bank of America Stadium, you can now watch from the convenience of your home. So it's only $24.99 with the option to donate more if you're able. And all the proceeds are going to those in North Carolina affected by Hurricane Helene. So the money is definitely going to be well spent, because North Carolina got rocked to its core. Right. So in addition to Luke Combs and Eric Church, you have Billy Strings, Keith Urban, Bailey Zimmerman, Sheryl Crow, and also James Taylor.
In my mind, I'm born Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Leaning just like a friend of mine to keep me from behind. When I'm born to Carolina in my mind.
I think I just read that these last two hurricanes have done $30 billion of damage. It's the most that the country has ever seen in back-to-back hurricanes.
Wow.
All right, coming up in your next entertainment buzz, some of pop's biggest stars are leaving their tributes and condolences of Liam Payne, and we will tell you what they are saying in your next entertainment buzz on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
When one of us does well, it should be celebrated. if they're with the show still or not. Kristen, for new listeners, P1s, of course, will know the name. Who is Blake?
Blake. Blake started out as an intern on The Burt Show, and then that internship turned in him to be phone screener Blake and a producer Blake. He became part-time Blake, and then Blake left us. Then Blake left us to pursue news. He wanted to be like a professional and stuff. He wanted people actually to listen to what he says. And so he started in Columbus, Georgia, and then moved his way to Nashville, Tennessee. And he was doing morning news, TV news for Nashville.
All right. Well, things have changed. Hey, Blake.
Hey, good morning. Your time now, 8:28. We're following breaking news as soon as we come on the air this morning. Intern Blake, returning to the Burt Show studio.
What's up, man?
Dude, I want to sleep in. You can have this mic.
Yeah.
Dude, tell him what's been going on. Tell him what's been going on.
Because Walter Cronkite and Peter Jennings impression, because I have some news to share with you.
Do it, man.
So it's been 2 years since I've been here in Nashville, and it's been an incredible journey. I remember I came to the Burt Show to share the news with each of you. So it feels like this is kind of the rite of passage to do anytime there's any sort of announcement to make, is just to call you guys. October is Drake's favorite month, so October is my favorite month.
I had a feeling that was coming.
Yeah, he don't have a favorite month anymore, man.
His
favorite month was the month before he had the beef with Gatorade.
You don't have a birthday anymore at this point.
Sorry, buddy. I don't want to pee on your parade here, man, but go ahead.
I had to slide that in there because I feel like there needs to be more Drake representation on the Burt Show, so OVO forever. But anyways, I have some news of my own to share with you. Bert, you and I have talked offline for a while now, and it has been a very stressful couple of months, not knowing what I was going to do or things were going to go. My contract was coming to an end. I wasn't sure what was going to happen next, but sometimes unique opportunities present themselves, and you kind of have to run full throttle at them, and that's what happened. So I am packing my bag and packing a winter coat because I am heading to be the evening news anchor for the ABC station in Milwaukee.
How about that?
Whoa!
So this is a, in news terms, this is a better time slot for you?
So this is, yes, this is technically what you would consider to be kind of prime time evening news. I am most excited about the fact that I will be going into work at 2:30 p.m. and not waking up at 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Nice.
I look forward to getting 8 hours of sleep and seeing what that feels like. But yeah, this was an opportunity that I, you know, never saw coming. I didn't think evening news was going to be anywhere on my bingo card anytime soon. But it was an opportunity that was just too incredible to pass up. And Bert, you and I were talking when they flew me out there for an interview, and it was just incredible to even be flown out for an interview. I remember I was texting you. I was like, Bert, they put me up in a hotel. And you're like, well, where do you think they were going to put me? like the little things of, you know, someone seeing value in you and wanting you to be a part of something that they're doing there. And this station is incredible. They're celebrating 70 years this year. It's WISN. It's the ABC News affiliate there. And they are just incredible. They even have a helicopter, guys.
What?
Okay.
Do you get used to that thing?
So I don't know. I'm not quite sure yet. We'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. But very, very excited.
So I'm going to say a couple of things on the show here that you and I have talked about quite a bit over the last couple of months. This has been a journey for Blake, man. You talk about an emotional roller coaster for him. This is, first of all, I want to embrace this again. And I hope you're celebrating that, how quickly you have risen, man. Once you left here, I mean, you started the right way in a small little town doing news, worked your way. People spend 25, 30 years trying to get Nashville and to Milwaukee also and get to their the day part or the shift that they really want. And it has happened so fast for you because you've busted your ass, man, and you're very, very talented. So I hope you're taking that in through all the insecurity that we have seen over the last couple of months.
Thank you, Bert. That means a lot. And, you know, some things never change. Insecure Blake was intern Blake, and insecure Blake is still news anchor Blake. I live with you, and you learn to embrace all of it.
Blake hits me up like a year and a half ago, and he's like, they haven't started talking to me about my contract yet. It's a year and a half, bro.
So we have friends in, never mind. You're going to Milwaukee, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What'd you do?
I got Minneapolis. Okay.
Hey, Kristen, yeah. That's okay, because once upon a time, I thought the National Mall was like a Tanger Outlet, and you corrected me. So,
oh, yeah.
Things sometimes this early in the morning.
Well, congratulations, my dude. It's definitely been a pleasure to watch your journey, man. I'm very excited for you. I'm also excited to see how you handle those Milwaukee winters.
Yes,
Mo, I knew that was coming after all the times we talked about New York cold.
Yes,
so
sir.
I'm curious to see how this compares. If you have an extra jacket laying around in the penthouse here in Atlanta, I'd be glad to take it off your hand.
Man. See what I can do.
You're not lactose intolerant, are you?
Depending on the type of food being served, some things are worth the sacrifice.
There's a lot of cheese in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Look out.
Yeah. And if you need the name of a good synagogue, my brother lives up there and he's like Hasidic Jew. So I don't know.
We are of no help whatsoever.
Zero. Absolutely none.
Hey, congratulations, my dude. We are all so excited for you and celebrating with you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for letting me come on and share the news with you this morning, Bert. I miss you guys so much. I wish I was there in studio, but hopefully I'll get a chance to come back home. And look, maybe I'll be home even more now because I'm not working weekends.
So there you go.
There you go.
There you go. You know, you're always welcome here, man.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys. Love y'all.
See ya.
Love you
too, bro.
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.